Radio Influence. The future is now.
Flavor, flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here. It's here.
All right, hidey ho, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and this is the Ian Beckles Show, Flavor in Your Ear, Radio Influence. This is my podcast every week, and it's been fun so far. The first few shows we're doing at some restaurants, doing with some of my good friends, knowledgeable people. That becomes a little bit much every week. And, you know, what we're going to do here for a little while is just have me kind of freestyle a little bit, talking about all the goings on during the week, because I don't get a chance to get on the air, and everything kind of starts building up, and I'm ready to talk about a lot of these different things. So I got a whole week's worth of things to talk about, and that's what I'll do on my podcast, Flavor in the Ear. So I appreciate you guys listening in. As you know, I'm a South Tampa dude. So if you're from another state, just imagine a place with some pretentious type people. Good-looking people, and you can't go to the restaurant unless you're dressed up real nice. That's what South Tampa's all about. Driving up here, I saw a sign that said legal weed, and I've seen them all around the town, and this is not going to be an argument for or against weed, but for a sign to be legal weed, who are you looking for? Like, weed is not completely legal in this state yet. So if you can get it legally, that means you have a prescription. That means they told you where to get it. So if you have a sign that says legal weed, who are you trying to lure in? So to me, this is like catch a predator or something. Like, you're going to walk in there looking for my legal weed. And there's going to be Chris Hansen sitting there, and you're going to go, oh, damn. And that's going to be it. So you guys could get suckered in on the legal weeds signs. I'm not getting suckered in. So take heed out there, all you weed smokers. Watch yourself. Now, this week started off, once again, South Tampa. Lived here for quite a while. By 22 years, I've been in South Tampa now. And I, you know, consider South Tampa a very clean place, a very safe place. And now there's shootings on Howard now. What is happening when there's shootings on Howard? Let me describe Howard to you, okay? Howard's a bunch of, I'm almost going to say 21, 18 to 24-year-olds running around in affliction shirts, picking fights, okay? That's pretty much it. Hot girls, though, hot, with some little dresses and little skirts and little shorts. And that's all y'all's daughters, by the way. That's what Howard is about. Now there's a hookah lounge over there. I think it's on the corner of Platt and Howard. And there was a shooting there and a killing. Some guy was upset. Somebody talked bad about his mama or something like that. So I don't know what this world is coming to. All these South Tampa people who always say to me, where'd you get that shirt? And I'll say, well, I got it at University Mall. And the first thing is, oh, no, I would never go there. It's dangerous there. I got some news for you. It's dangerous right in your backyard. So they're shooting people now on Howard. So everybody out there, take heed to what's happening around you. And a lot of people think people need more guns. I don't know if we need more guns, because there's so many people out there walking around medicated, and there's so many buffoons out there that I don't think we need more guns. I think we need more education. How about that? Not more guns, more education, because guns could be fine if you're educated. And I think there's a lot of uneducated people wielding these guns, to be honest with you. So that was one of the first things that I saw on the news. I usually watch Channel 13, Channel 8. I pop in and out in the morning. So that kind of brought me down a little bit. And then I saw something that brought me up and may keep me up for the next month or so, because it's that funny. I like stupid videos, and I enjoy, you know, just ignorance. And this video, and if you haven't seen it, Google it. I'm sure it'll come up real quick. Google chimp throwing poop. Now, we're in a zoo, And this chimp is, you know, in this little enclosure down below. And you can see him with something in his hand, and he's kind of hiding it a little bit. And then he starts winding up, like he's squatting to get him some thrust. And it was almost like this chimp was practicing this all night when everybody wasn't there. And he made sure he knew to aim the whole 9 yards. This chimp unloads and flicks his wrists and throws his poop maybe, I would say, it had to have gone 50 feet. 50 feet out and 20 feet up. That's a long way to throw poop now. So he throws his poop and he flings it and hits this old lady in the face. And it's stuck on her nose, just hanging off of her nose. So, like, it was almost like a Dave Chappelle skit. Like, it couldn't have gone like that. Like, no way. And somebody was videotaping it as the grandmother turns around and the poop is just hanging off the end of her nose and the look on her face. Now, I'm not scared of a lot of things. I'm scared of heights. But I'm going to tell you what. If chimpanzee hits me in the face with poop, I'm not going to stand there looking around. The second it hits my skin, I have to get chimpanzee poop off of me immediately. So if you do yourself a favor, go and Google chimp throws poop at zoo, and it's going to come up, and it's just one of the best things I've ever seen in my whole life. So that got me going a little bit. So it was kind of an up and down thing getting up in the morning on Monday. And speaking of poop, I got to lead in with this. We're going to start doing this every week. And I kind of look around. I'm a perceptive person. And I want to have a segment every week. You can't be sexy when, and then you finish in the sentence. So anybody out there that does social media like I do, you can text me, Twitter me, or Facebook me, or Instagram me, any of those. What can't be sexy when, and I'm going to fill in the blank myself. I'm going to do the first one. This is the number one, since we're talking about poop. You can't be sexy when you're picking up dog poop, because I've seen it everywhere. I see a good-looking girl, and she got the bag on her hand, and then she goes and scoops up the steaming hot poop with her hand, with a very thin layer of plastic on her hand, in between her hand and the stinking hot poop. And you're going to tell me that stink didn't go through that bag onto your hand? So you're not sexy at that point. You can't be sexy when you're picking up poop. And I got two others. I'm sorry. You can't be sexy when you get out of a minivan. It's impossible. I've tried it, and it's impossible. My wife had, we had three kids at one time that were in car seats, and I had a minivan and three car seats, and I'm rolling by myself, not thinking about it. I'm at the gas station. I come out. I'm looking fly, right? I come out as a good-looking girl, and the girl looked at me, and she reacted like she had poop under her lip. Like, ugh. I'm like, damn. And I realize it's the minivan's fault. That's not my fault. Okay, so you can't be sexy picking up poop. Can't be sexy coming out of a minivan. There's only one more that I'm going to add today. We can add them more as we go. You can't be sexy when you're wearing Birkenstocks. Okay, I'm just going to let people know that. I think it's a great foot utensil, but don't try to act sexy wearing Birkenstocks. It just shows that you don't really care too much today. You know, it's Peppermint Patty wore Birkenstocks, okay? So Birkenstocks are not sexy. So don't try to do it. So if you want to check me out, Instagram or whatever, I'm at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles. Now, the big to-do this week, and I'm starting to be disgusted with, we'll say, society in my country in general, okay? I've never seen people make so much crap out of nothing. I've never seen it before. Kendall Jenner comes up with this commercial, okay? It's a Pepsi commercial. And everybody's like, oh my God, she's glorifying Black Lives Matter. If you looked at the commercial, one half of the people are black, maybe a third. Go find me a Black Lives Matter rally with one third of the people being black. So she wasn't depicting Black Lives Matter. Stop it. There's people protesting things. She could have been depicting the women marching against Donald Trump. She could have been doing anything. She's just talking about, you know, people protesting. And it does happen. And the cops will have to be there. And then the whole commercial was, You give the cop a Pepsi and life's good and everything is squashed. And that's not what they said. I think that's what everybody got out of it. Now, you can watch, 10 people can watch a commercial and 10 people can have a different description of what's happening in the commercial. We're becoming some sensitive bitches, okay? Because they, Pepsi took the commercial off and got, and their stock actually rose when that commercial came out. To me, I watched the commercial and I was like, that's a good feel. That's what I thought. I would have never thought of them glorifying anything in any situation. Of course, Pepsi's not going to end, you know, all, you know, wars. We know that. But if Pepsi makes you feel good, that's okay. So come on, people. It's to the point now where you can't do anything unless you're pissing lots of people off. It doesn't matter. And if you piss one person off, you got to take it down. Oh my God, you pissed one person off. Take it down. Forget about all the rest of the people. So Kendall Jenner, everybody's attacking Kendall Jenner. You know what she did? Made millions of dollars. That's it. She's associated with Pepsi. So who are you to dog her out for doing a Pepsi commercial? If Pepsi came to me and said, Ian, we're going to do a commercial, and I go, I'm in. And they don't have to explain what the commercial is about. I'm in. So if you're going to give me $1 million or more to do, and I'll dress up in a clown suit and serve Pepsi to, it doesn't matter, nuns or whatever. You can, you know, decipher whatever you want from that whole scenario. But I want to be associated with Pepsi. So Kendall Jenner, I got you. I got love for you, okay? But there's too many people now that are driving me crazy with what's happening right now. Because that, you could have thought that was one of the biggest things that happened in the world, that Pepsi commercial. And when it's all said and done, it's probably the best thing that happened to Pepsi, because when there's controversies like that, people are Googling your names and all kind of stuff, and everything comes up, Pepsi, 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 and that's it. And the other craziness that happened, and this one is the least crazy, and I don't even really know why it was necessary. Barry Manilow came out yesterday, and he said he was homosexual. Barry Manilow was gay, I know. If you're holding your breakfast, you probably dropped a plate. Oh my God, Barry Manilow's gay. By the way, Barry Manilow had a wedding in 2015 and he married a man. So then that would make you gay. And I don't know if anybody was really questioning it anyways, because go back and look at the old school videos and stuff. He's in the George Michael category of, you should have known. You should have known. There's enough Barry Manilow out there, and I think Barry Manilow's talented. Like, I'm not going to sit at home and watch and listen to a whole lot of Barry Manilow, but when I hear his songs, I'm like, that's cool. Like, I know most of the words of a lot of the songs. Like I said, they're a little bit soft, but then again, so is Barry Manilow. So, at 70-something years old, I guess he's been dating this guy for 20-something years, and the guy's also his manager, so... So, Barry, when you're with this dude all the time, I think everybody knew, but I think he thought it was important for him to come out. So we all know Barry Manilow is gay, and once again, I don't think it's going to change anybody's perception of his music or anything like that, nor did George Michael when George Michael came out, or Elton John. It's just too bad Luther Vandross couldn't have come out. He died before he came out, but I kind of knew anyways. So, my thing is sports. I like talking about sports. And I write down most of my notes for the shows. And a lot of them have to do with sports. And I got some politics as well, because the craziest thing is I'm all of a sudden listening to politics and it's driving me crazy. But I am dabbling a little bit of politics. Some of the big things happening this week. We're going to start with NBA basketball. Everybody's up in arms because LeBron James is resting. The Spurs have been resting players for 8 years. It seems like. And when LeBron James rested, all of a sudden it's the worst thing in the world. And then you have to compare him to Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan's tougher than him. And listen, we're not going to have a debate whether Michael Jordan is tougher than anybody. Okay? I don't care what athlete. If you say Michael Jordan, you can't tell me an athlete that is cut and dry tougher than Michael Jordan. I don't want to hear it. Michael Jordan was not coming off that court. But it's a different time now. It's a different time. This is more of a business. We have to understand that. And it was back in the day, it was kind of like you had to play with the same guys and you're grinding away. Now it's like you can just rest your guys and then playoff time, the team who feels better, a lot of ways the teams that win. I think that the athletes in general are not the same as they were back in the day. They're just not. Like, you know, Shaquille O'Neal is going to break down way before Wilt Chamberlain. You ever see pictures of Wilt Chamberlain? Wilt Chamberlain, it was like 7 foot. It looked like he weighed 195. You know, so your body is going to break down a lot more when you're a bigger person. LeBron James is a big, pretty damn big person. And Michael Jordan, once again, at that time, that was what leadership is about. Now, it's about business. And if your front office says, hey, Mike, you're sitting down, well, then you're going to sit down. Well, if there's one athlete that didn't have to sit down, it would probably be Mike. Mike would probably tell you, you go kiss my ass. I ain't sitting nowhere. And he might be one of the few athletes that can get that done. So everybody's up in arms now. LeBron James and a bunch of other players are resting. But this has been happening for a long time, okay? And, you know, the commissioner's trying to get his foot in there, but he's nothing you can do. You can't make somebody play players. You can't. They'll just fake something. They'll say, well, he has a twisted ankle. They can lie. I mean, everybody else in the world is lying, it seems like. Tony Romo was released, but basically he said, you know, I'm going into broadcasting, which is a good idea for Tony Romo because there's a part of an aspect of football that he can't deal with anymore. And that's, it's a simple thing of getting hit. Other than the getting hit part, he'd be fine. But if you can figure out a situation where you can play 16 games and Tony Romo doesn't get hit, he can play. He'll be fine. But if he gets hit once, he will be hurt. Like literally the last four times Tony Romo got hit, he got hurt. And he broke a bone or he was tearing something or it ain't good or your season's over. I want to say he played five games maybe in the last couple of years, and it's not pretty. And Jerry Jones obviously is not going to pay Tony Romo $30 million to sit on the bench again, but nor is anybody else going to pay him a lot of money to go through training camp. If you put Tony Romo in your training camp, that's great. Because he's probably going to be better than whoever you have, okay? He's going to look better than whoever you have. But when you put him in there in the first game, you better know this. He ain't going to be there in week 17. He won't be there. So you better get somebody else prepared. So why would you want to start your season that way? So Tony Romo's going to go in the booth with Jim Nance. Right away, everybody's like, he's going to be great in the booth. Now, how do you know that? Nobody knows who's going to be great in the booth. Who would have known Trent Dilfer would be great in the booth? How'd you know that? Who would know that Steve Young sucks? I think Steve Young sucks. I think he's terrible. Thank God he was a great quarterback and a great competitor. But as a broadcaster and just as a person, period, he's knowledgeable. But and I know he's intelligent because I believe he's a lawyer. But to me, he does not carry himself very well with that microphone. Trent Dilfer, I think, does a wonderful job. Who'd know like Mark Schlereth to be that good behind it? So you don't know who's going to be good and who's going to be bad just because you're an intelligent person and just because you're a great football player. And he was great. You can say what you want about Tony Romo. And if you're telling me I'm wrong, go look at his statistics. And the statistics will yell back at you, you're wrong. Tony Romo was a great football player regardless because you have to compare him statistically. If you want to go with the, you know, wins, you could go to that too. He's not too bad there either. But statistically, he has better statistics than a lot of Hall of Fame NFL quarterbacks. So go check on that if you don't think that it's a big deal. Now, this is what Tony Romo's going to have to fight. It's his first year out of football. He's going to keep himself in shape. He's going to train like he's still playing football. He's going to be broadcasting. He's going to miss something. And then with 8 weeks left, somebody's going to get hurt. And how long you think it's going to take before Tony Romo's name is out there? I give it a second before the media jumps on and says they're going to call Tony Romo, and then the media is going to jump on it before they even say anything right away. Just like if there's a coach opening, John Gruden is up for this gig. John Gruden ain't going no damn where. John Gruden's making a lot of money to sit in a dungeon and watch film and not worry about winning or losing. He's making a lot of money and he's a rock star. He ain't going no damn where. Okay. So, Tony Romo's going to be, it's going to be a tough situation for him when he's in the booth, enjoying it, maybe 5, 6, 4, 8 weeks left in the season, somebody goes down, and now all of a sudden, and now it has to be the right situation, a team that's got a good enough record to go to the playoffs, it's going to be hard for him to say no. Real, real hard. I was sitting at the DeBartolo Gala with Vincent Jackson, and I'm asking him, are you done with football? And he's like, yeah, I think I'm done. Oh, I don't know. And this, and I said, well, if you don't end up at a training camp, it's going to be tough, because I went through it. And when you're just finished, it's hard to step away from, because you're watching it every week. You're watching guys that the year before you were better than, and you're just thinking to yourself, God, I could be out there. And when my first year sitting out, I went and I worked out for the Rams in about week six. And ironically, at that time, the Rams were 6-0. So I work out for the Rams and when they're 6-0, and their offensive line coach says, man, you move better than any of our linemen we got. If we have any problem, we're going to sign you. So at 6-0, then I started watching Rams football, and I'd be lying to you if I said that I wasn't hoping somebody got hurt. I'd be lying. Because every time I saw a pileup, I'm thinking, oh, there must be ACL in there, or at least an MCL or some minor. You know, I don't want anybody to get their leg cut open, but a meniscus or something. Give a brother a break. Because I know very well, if I'd have come off that couch with 6 weeks left and I didn't have to go through training camp, I would be a son of a bitch, because my body would be raring to go. But think about adding on 11 other weeks and training camp and what that does to your body. If I'm coming off the couch with 6 weeks to go, everybody else is in trouble. Now, it may be a little time before I catch my wind, but physically everything is going to be wonderful. So Tony Romo, we're going to see him in CBS. I think he's going to do a good job, but you never know about those situations, because it's not really about how great of a football player. It's about how you're acclimated. Remember Eric Dickerson? Boy, oh boy. What boy? He was terrible behind the microphone. I think Marshall Faulk is terrible, but I digress. Jerry Jones is trying to get the NFL to ease up on the marijuana laws. It's about time now, people, just in general. Let me tell you how the marijuana laws work in the league. A lot of people don't really understand how it works. A lot of people, and the funny part is, I didn't understand how it worked while I played. I understand now. This is what I played. It's a little different now, I believe. You know you're going to get drug tested in July during training camp. So July training camp usually started the last week of July, so July 25th, something like that. So you know that the first day or second day of training camp, so July 26th, you're going to get drug tested by the NFL. You knew this. You don't get drug tested the whole offseason. You know July 26th, you're going to get drug tested. Therefore, June 26th, you stop smoking. Now, I'm going to preface it by saying this. I didn't smoke it at that time. I didn't say I'm not smoking it now, but I didn't smoke it at that time. I was scared of, you know, just the stress of the whole thing. So I would watch everybody around me with a month left stop smoking and taking what you got to clear your system out. The day they do the drug tests on July 26th during training camp, that night, everybody is high as giraffe pussy because they haven't been high for a month. Fact. And the rest of the season, they can smoke every day, all day. So what is that doing? If you're just stopping people from smoking for 1 month, it's not doing anything whatsoever. So they need to start amending those laws, because I know everybody was crazy about Ezekiel Elliott. Oh my God, he's in a dispensary. They didn't really actually show him buying anything, but he was in a dispensary. So it's a big deal if an NFL player is in a dispensary. Seriously. And it's getting to a point now where, you know, the people that are against it, I'm not quite sure what your argument is at this time, but I'm trying to figure it out. But you're staying steadfast on whatever you believe in, but I don't even think you guys really understand what you believe in anymore. Now, the NFL draft is coming up April 27th. On one of my next podcasts, I'm definitely going to bring somebody in, maybe from the Pewter Report, maybe JoeBucksFan.com, I don't know, because I'm just going to be as real as I can with the draft, okay? I get asked every year what I think about the draft, and my answer is I don't, because there's so many people out there that claim that they know something about the draft, but, well, they should take this guy, or they should take Dalvin Cook, or they should take, okay, that's great. But if you really consider yourself a guru or somebody who's knowledgeable, if I ask you a question, I'd like to be able, like, if you answer it. So if somebody says, well, the Bucks should take Dalvin Cook, Why? Just because he was a great college player? Well, if that's the case, well, how many times do you think there's been misses? Being a great college player doesn't make you a great NFL player. That's not me saying Dalvin Cook's not going to be a great player. But if you think the Bucs should take him, and I ask you a question, you better have an answer. Or if I say, what's his strength? Like, if you're an FSU fan, you might be able to answer that. But if you're not an FSU fan, then you have to go and watch film. That's the only way you can evaluate an athlete is watching film. And even if you're an FSU fan, just watching it on TV is not good enough. It's not good enough. Not if you're really, truly trying to evaluate a football player. Scouts, they sit in a little room with a big screen, and it shows just the inside lineman and the running back running. You can see his vision. You can see the way he blocks. You can see everything. When you're just watching on TV, you're missing three quarters of it because of the camera angle. So it's easy to say, we should take Jadeveon Clowney. He had a great hit in the Outback Bowl. You know what I said about Jadeveon Clowney when I first saw him? And by the way, I think he made a Pro Bowl this year, and he wasn't that dang good, okay? Well, I watched him. He would be just like he was in college. He would make a play or two a game, and everybody would make a big deal out of it. I think he made a Pro Bowl this year. I think he had six sacks. The rest of the game, he ain't really doing a whole lot of anything and getting pushed around a lot. When I saw Jadeveon Clowney in college, I said, well, he ain't going to be a great football player because he doesn't have the ability to run through somebody. If you're a defensive lineman, you can't live with just running around offensive linemen. It doesn't work. You have to be able to run through an offensive lineman to be great. So there's little things like that. Like when I was talking to Sheldon Quarles about football. Talked to Sheldon Quarles, and I know he knows what the hell he's talking about. Or if I talk to Mark Dominic about football, the old GM, I know he knows what I'm talking about. Not everybody knows what the hell they're talking about. So I know a lot of these guys out there are watching film, and I'm going to bring somebody in definitely with a little more knowledge than I have in the draft. I know what I like. I know what it looks like, but I don't have the time to sit down and watch everybody's film. So for me to tell you who's great and who ain't great, that's just a tough situation for me. Now, our Rays started up opening day. I did my show, the Ian Beckles Show, 102.5 The Bone. We do every Sunday, Dignitary Radio. I did it from Ferg's Live. The place was packed. It was great. It was wonderful. It's also opening day, which is going to be packed. After that, not so much. But I believe there was still some, I think attendance was okay throughout the series. The Rays were 1-2, lost one. I'm not predicting a wonderful season for the Rays, but I've been wrong before, that's for sure. And Mayor Christman just came out and was talking about keeping the stadium in St. Pete. What the hell for? What for? We did this years ago, and we talked about St. Petersburg and Pinellas County, and I think the number of season tickets from Pinellas County was in the 300s. You guys don't deserve baseball. And you know what? I'm just going to be as blatant and as honest. Neither does Hillsborough County. None of us deserve it. If we can't drive over a little ass bridge to go watch baseball, we don't deserve baseball. Because every other city, people are driving from every damn where. Okay? So we always have excuses. We always have excuses why people aren't standing. Well, it's a Monday. Well, it's there's so many other things to do. Well, you know what's going to happen? Doesn't matter where you put the stadium, there's still going to be a whole lot of other things to do. So why the hell would somebody put a stadium in Hillsborough County? There's more stuff to do over there. I mean, so you guess the bottom line is there's just probably not going to be baseball here in 10 years. I don't foresee it. I don't know who the hell is going to put their millions and millions and millions of dollars into a stadium. I know the ownership's not going to do it. I know it can't happen during a referendum. So Where do we go from here? So I don't think there's going to be baseball in 10 years. Now my favorite topic in the world, used to be sports, I think now it's politics. And it's the craziest thing in the world. You never see somebody go through a metamorphosis like I did. I was a pupa, and now I'm a pretty butterfly or an ugly-ass moth. But either way, I like politics now. I like it because it's stupid, and it doesn't make no damn sense. I like it. I don't believe in it. But I like it in a weird way because You know, you walk around this country and you look at everybody, you're like, damn, how the hell did everybody get so effed up? How did, why are these people so effed up? And the problem, you know, the problem is the people up top are crazy, loco, ballistic, crazy, out of their damn minds. That's real talk, though, because when I'm watching the two sides, and I am, and I watch both sides. I'm not on a side. I lean to one side. There's no doubt. But I don't really have a side. Like, there's different topics where I'll listen to a Republican or a Democrat, and I'll be like, okay, that's what I believe. But it's not all on one side. So I don't have a side. I'll never pick a side. I don't give a crap what side it is, okay? So I'm watching Anderson Cooper. I'm watching Bill Maher. I'm watching Hannity. I'm watching Tucker Carlson. And I'm listening to both sides of it. On one side, the worst thing in the world is the collusion with Russia and United States. That's the worst thing in the world. And I kind of, when you listen to some of the, you know, I'm talking about real crap. I'm trying not to curse. Real stuff, okay? Facts. There's a lot. Russia's really close. I mean, Russia is really, really close. And listening to stuff going on in Russia, they're just killing folk over there. They just, you look at somebody wrong, you look at Putin wrong, you're dead. That's it. So I thought Russia was the enemy. I thought, but we are all hugged up with Russia, okay? And the other side is basically, well, that's not a big deal. What's a big deal is that you guys got this information illegally. So you guys should go to jail. So everybody's telling everybody else they should go to jail. So all the higher ups, Trump wants Hillary in jail. Hillary should go to jail. I know Hillary for sure wants Trump in jail for all this crap going on. Now, Trump's people want Susan Rice in jail. She committed a crime. There's no evidence, but she committed a crime. It's all of us wanting each other to go to jail. Does that make any sense? We should be wanting the Russians to go to jail. They're supposed to be the enemy, not us. This is our country. We're supposed to all be hugged up and together. Obama was wiretapping. He should go to jail. No evidence, but you're going to spit that out. I mean, then they'll come up with a little something. Well, look, there was some surveillance. That's not what he said. Wiretapping and surveillance are not the same thing in my world, I don't believe. Wiretapping is illegal. Surveillance is not. So, you know, you can bow down to a technicality, but our world is becoming crazy. It really is. And if you really look at the way other countries, you know, everybody says this is a land of opportunity. But think about this for a second. Think back to when Marion Jones was in the Olympics, okay? And she won gold medal for the United States of America. And she stood up there and she was looking at the flag and she was proud and she won. And then we... Not they, and they would have been the Olympic Committee. We, United States of America, put Marion Jones in jail because she lied about taking performance-enhancing drugs to win in the Olympics. Isn't that crazy when you really think about it? We have somebody that's doing whatever she needs to do to win for our country. What do they do in Germany? Can you ask yourself that? What do they do in Germany to their Olympic athletes? What do they do to them? Do we know anything? This is what I know they do. They give them good drugs to win in the Olympics. It's been that way forever. And we're putting people in jail for lying about taking them. You got to be kidding me. It's a good thing that politicians aren't in the Olympics because they'd be going to jail. Because they are flat out stank liars, all of them. And I'm not omitting anybody. Obama did it more eloquently, but he was a liar. Trump, I mean, I don't even need to say it, okay? I don't think Trump's told the truth yet. Everybody around Trump is lying. Everybody on both sides just lies to get their, just to save their own ass. But there's a lot of ass saving going on right now. I know you guys have to see it. And I don't know if anything has been more disarray than politics in general. I don't know whose fault it is, but just in general, It ain't right. It ain't aligned right at all. The planets are not in line for politics in the United States of America right now. Because you talk about divisive. You talk about a land that's divided. You think it's ever been this divided before? It wasn't this divided way back in when there used to be racism back in the day with slavery. It wasn't that divided. You know why? It was one side. Now there's two sides, but it is getting divided. It is divided white, black. It is divided Republican, Democrat. It is so divided. But it's getting to a point now where it's getting scary because there's shootings and there's situations you can't, you know, rallies and all these things. They should be peaceful. It should be, you're allowed to stand on a corner and, you know, discuss or try to get across what, you know, what's your belief is. But there's shootings now and there's, with the cops and the relations with, oh my God, there's so much stuff going on right now, but none of it's good, unfortunately. So, you know, we're waiting for our country to be cleaned up by the politicians. Just look closely at what's going on. And as I get older, I get more cynical. I think that comes with it. And I think once I get to 60 years old, I'm just going to shut out. I think some people that don't talk when they're older, I think they can talk. They just don't want to. They just don't like people anymore. I think when I get 60 years old, I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm done talking to everybody. I hate everybody. I'm not talking to nobody no more. So I'm just going to kind of just, you know, sign off. But it's getting to a point now where the hypocrisy of everything going on now is getting to be absolutely ridiculous. But other than that, everything is fun. And I heard they might find Tupac's killer, so that's a good thing. But I don't know. That's neither here nor there. Now, this is always fun for me. We're going to start talking a little bit more sports as we get closer to the Buccaneers draft, because my Buccaneers are going to the playoffs this year. And I said it, you can quote me, you can do whatever you want. You can put money on it, but you just don't put my money on it because that doesn't exist. But this is fun for me. Got to get to talk a little bit of politics, you know, a little of everything, a little pop culture, and obviously talking a lot of sports as well. That's what Flavor in Your Ear is all about. This is Ian Beckles signing off. Everybody have a wonderful rest of your week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter, at Ian Beckles, and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor, flavor, bringing that flavor.
Chef Brian Duffy here. I've got a new show called Duffified Live that's unlike anything you've ever heard. Each week, I'm going to be talking to some of my friends, some people I've never even met before. We're going to be talking about people that I meet on the road through some of my experiences. We're talking about restaurants, talking about great stories, great guests, wild adventures, the whole nine yards. Get Duffified Live with me, Chef Brian Duffy, each week on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.